The Reviver of Sunnah, the Reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Reza. The Reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Reza. The Reviver of Sunnah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of this beautiful series, Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the reviver of Sunnah. Subhanallah. And alhamdulillah, as we have been learning about the biography and the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu from many different perspectives, and alhamdulillah, with me, Maulana Shad Sahib has been enlightening you about this blessed personality of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Inshallah, in today's episode, our topic of discussion will be the words of wisdom that emanated from the Mubarak lips of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. MashaAllah, again we are joined by our Honorable Maulana Naushad Sahib Qibla Dama Zillahul Ali. Welcome and marhaba Maulana Sahib.
Jazakallahu khaira for having me on the silsila. In fact, we are enlightening ourselves with the research of Ala Hazrat.
Subhanallah.
With the works and the writings of Ala Hazrat. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. This is to brighten our hearts, brighten our minds, and this is like a coolness for the eyes of the seekers of knowledge.
Subhanallah. So accurately said, mashallah. Inshallah, before we dive deep into the topic, inshallah, let's first listen to this fragrant hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me in the world.
Subhanallah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Inshallah, a few verses of manqabat in the praise of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. The reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. The Imam of Ahlus-Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. The Imam of Ahlus-Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. The reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. Scholar of Sharia, devotee of Rasul, a blessing for the Ummah, Imam Ahmed Raza. Imam Ahmed Raza, the reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. The reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. A teacher of Quran, a master of Hadith, the Sufi of Tariqah, Imam Ahmed Raza, the reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza, the Imam of Ahlus-Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. The reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. MashaAllah, Ma'asab, we are here again discussing the blessed personality of Sayyidi Ala Hadrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends.
Subhanallah.
So we are being showered by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. No doubt, Ma'asab, I mean, who else would we talk about if we don't talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If we don't talk about Anbiya alayhi wa sallam? If we don't talk about Sahaba Ikram, Awliya Allah, I mean, who else is there? These are our role models, essentially, with our supreme role model being Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the crown of creation, and the one who taught us how to live properly as human beings, how to live this short life to the fullest, to the maximum. Yeah. If a person wants to utilize this short life to the max, that lies in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any other way will lead to destruction. Because we're seeing it today, people who adopt other kinds of lifestyles, that those lifestyles are decadent, they deteriorate, and they destroy a person's life. And ultimately, they destroy the family unit. Hmm. This is one of the plots of shaitan. The nuclear family, as they call it, the family unit, to disrupt that. Because your society is made up of families. Essentially, each family put together makes up your community, contributes and makes up your society. Now, if you interfere with the functioning of the basic unit of society, then ultimately you mess up the entire society.
Allah.
And our deen teaches us that man and woman, when they come together as husband and wife, and they have children, then there's grandchildren, and they look after and they give the proper tarbiyah and training according to Islamic teachings, then that society flourishes. And Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, this is what he taught as well. He revived the sunnah, the rights of people, fulfilling the rights of individuals as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. So beautiful it is that we are discussing the same teaching, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala, preserved and presented in a beautiful fashion, instilling the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for his sunnah especially, and creating a beautiful Islamic environment in our homes, and ultimately, inshallah, it spreads out into the society, and inshallah, we all benefit from it. So, how true it is that the home that is not governed by the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not actually a peaceful home, but it is a home that becomes a abode of destruction. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to follow into the footsteps of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his teachings. And inshallah today we are going to hear from the Mubarak lips of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, as he had said in his anecdotes, in his words of wisdom, and it was recorded in his Malfuzah Sharif, inshallah. So we are going to learn some of his beautiful words of wisdom that he had imparted with people when people are coming to his door seeking nasiha and guidance. Today, who is not in need of guidance? We all are in need of guidance, Mullah Sahib. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, you know, at any given time, we all need guidance from time to time. And who better to guide us than that reviver, that mujaddid whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had appointed as the revival of the 14th century.
Mashallah.
Subhanallah.
Mashallah.
The first question in the Malfuzah Sharif that was posed to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala by his own Khalifa and student, Allama Abdul Alim Siddiqi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the roving ambassador of Islam.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
And he asked, Sayyidi, what was the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created?
Subhanallah.
And in response to that, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala presented this beautiful hadith, and he said that it is stated in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the first creation of Allah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to him, Ya Jabir, O Jabir, Inna Allah khalaqa qabla al-ashya'i nura nabiyyika min nurihi. Meaning, O Jabir, verily the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the light of your prophet from his light.
Allahu
Subhanallah. And after Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu gives him this response, he says, and he specifies his question, and he says, Sayyidi, my question was pertaining to this world. What was the first worldly thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created? And in response to that, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala, there is no shortage in his vast knowledge, he was blessed from the court of Rasulullah
sallallahu
alayhi wasallam. And Sayyidi Al-Hazrat says again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies. First he created the skies in 4 days between Sunday and Wednesday. And then created the earth between Thursday and Friday. And it was during the Asr and Maghrib, between the Asr and Maghrib of the same Friday in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Sayyidina Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam.
Subhanallah.
This is the immense knowledge of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Whether it is deen, whether it is dunya, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him and blessed him with the vast knowledge of all facets of life. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
Masab, as you also have stumbled upon these beautiful words of wisdom by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which you would like to share with our viewers, inshallah, and enlighten us.
Well, firstly, Al-Malfudat, this is a compilation of questions posed to Ala Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala ali. Maybe perhaps hundreds of questions with the answers as well. And you know, if a person just reads this, that is, I think, sufficient for them to get a little bit of an understanding of the immense knowledge of Allah rahmatullah ta'ala ali. Believe me, it's a treasure of knowledge. Regarding those narrations, no doubt our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Nurullah. As we always hear in, especially the circles of Dawat Islami, As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nurullah. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is light from Allah Azza wa Jal. And so he's Nuri Bashar. He's a human being, but his reality is Nur. His reality is light.
Subhanallah.
And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, if you just see how Al-Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi in a very simple way explains that how, you know, creation was created. The first thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla created, and then the creation of and the heavens and the earth, and to detail. And you must know something, whatever Allah Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala ali mentions, you will most certainly find the references of it.
Definitely.
Grounded in the Sharia. He doesn't make up things on his own. He's not that type of a scholar. Yes, a person may feel like, you know, how Allah Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala ali knows so many different facets, so many different sciences. Well, it is Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him, and he received a lot of knowledge from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sometimes without even consulting his books. Because, you know, as we mentioned the other day, he had a photographic memory.
Subhanallah.
That he would read a book, you know, the gist of the entire book would be in his mind. That he could just pick up, you know, that the library was formed in his mind. He had that a mental library.
Subhanallah.
So he just consulted his mind, which book, what page number, what hadith number, and amazing, really. But this is Allah Hazrat. That, you know, if I don't know, if any person doesn't know by now, this esteemed personality, I think we owe it to ourselves to learn about him, to read about him, how he contributed to the upliftment of proper, authentic Islamic teachings and beliefs as well.
And how he encouraged us as Muslim Ummah to seek this knowledge and to dive into this ocean, inshallah. And he brings in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his anecdotes, and he says that the first state is that you wake up in the morning in a state that you are an alim. And the second state, if that's not possible, the second state, أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا, or a seeker of knowledge. Then aw mustami'an, then a person who sits in the company of an alim. Aw muhibban, or a person who loves an alim. So wala takunil khamisa, don't be the fifth one, you will be destroyed.
And you know, honestly speaking, all these different states and levels is more or less provided in the environment of Dawat Islam.
Subhanallah.
If you want to learn ilm, you want to become an alim or alima, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, Dawud Islami has over 1,200 darulums in the world called Jamiatul Medina.
Subhanallah.
And, you know, separately for Islamic sisters, proper qualified scholars of the deen, males, females, or Alhamdulillah, if you attend the weekly sunnah inspiring ijtima of Dawud Islami, if you attend the classes, If you can't take out time, maybe you are working, or maybe your schedule is too busy, Dawud Islami has created the facility of online classes. And personally, we know individuals who are professionals, Huzur. So during the day, they're in their surgery, you know, as a doctor, as an accountant, or whatever it is, and they give some time at night. Not too much, a little bit of time at night every day. And over a period of time, so many years, they qualify as scholars, as ulama. So now some is making it, these conveniences are there. You know, there's dars happening, there's specialized classes for grown-ups happening, separately for Islamic sisters. And you know that in our environment of Dawud Islami, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah are the crowns of our heads. So all of these steps, alhamdulillah, a person who's part and parcel of this beautiful Madani movement, at some point or the other, is experiencing practically, alhamdulillah, Zawajal, on the ground.
Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, how fortunate we are that Dawud Islami is facilitating these institutes in your own town and your own city and country. Wherever you are, Dawud Islami, alhamdulillah, has reached far and wide to almost every corner of the world by now, alhamdulillah. And if you are there listening to this, and if you have that yearning, inshallah, to jump into this ocean of knowledge, join Dawud Islami. Join our jamias, inshallah, and go and learn the ilm of your deen, which is fard.
You know, Munasab, if I may add to what Munasab is talking about, that, a person may delve into different kinds of professions and get different kinds of degrees. Yeah. But one degree or one profession, we could say, that is sort of everlasting. If a person is an alim e deen, I'm talking about a true, authentic Sunni alim. Because on the day of judgment, there's not going to be any need for doctors or lawyers or accountants and architects. All these titles fall away. Mm. When a person passes away, you know, it doesn't exist anymore. But there will still be a need for even the people of Jannah to consult with the ulama in Jannah itself. In fact, ulama will be stopped from entering into Jannah by Allah Azza wa Jal, so that they can intercede for sinners who are being punished in Jahannam. So, I mean, this is such a title or such a profession that is going to be helpful for an individual even on the day of judgment.
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, these are some of the virtues. But if you really need to know the virtues of becoming an alim of deen, inshallah, there are many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Books and volumes have been written on it, especially Allama Naqi Al-Ikha rahmatullahi ta'ala, the father of Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He has written a book with regards to the virtues of Islamic knowledge, alhamdulillah, and the virtues of true scholars of Islam. Inshallah, get your hands on it, inshallah, and try and read and be inspired, inshallah, and that will motivate you to pursue this Islamic knowledge of Sharia and Tariqah and so on, inshallah.
Well, so we need to actually, there needs to be a shift in our mindset. I think we did mention this a few days ago, that if you change your mindset, you change everything.
Definitely.
Because what is my priority in life? Is it just career driven, whether male or female? Is it just career driven to get that degree or get to the level of PhD? But how is my grounding? How is my foundation? Foundation is Islamic knowledge, Islamic teachings. This is my foundation.
Yeah.
And this is priority. Because I won't be asked about, you know, why I studied this degree, you know, how I went about, you know, like my practice. I'll be asked about, you know, my ibadat. Ibadat would be accepted by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal if it is done correctly. For that, I need to learn. How do I perfect my salah? How do I perfect the recitation of Quran? Because you have to recite that in Quran, which is fard as well. How do I, you know, my zakah? There's so many things. How do I do the proper calculations? I have to come back to Islamic teachings, Islamic knowledge. To who are the proper recipients of collecting zakah? What about Hajj and Manasikul Hajj, the rules and regulations of Hajj? Munasab mentioned about ilm. There was a question posed to Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, mentioned in Al Malfuzat. The questioner asks Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, does one acquire ilm, which means knowledge, by studying books only?
Subhanallah.
A beautiful question. And the great Imam Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, he replies, this is not sufficient. Sitting in the company of the learned and the pious also develops ilm.
Subhanallah.
Their company, their discourses and advices also have a great impact in the acquisition of knowledge.
Allah.
And I just want to share this also with the viewers and listeners of Madani Channel that, subhanallah, you know, Amir Ahl Sunnat, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhu Mul Aliyah, he spent 20 years of his life in the service, in the company, studying under the great Mufti of Pakistan, Mufti Waqaruddin Qadri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. 20 years he spent in his company to learn the deen. So yes, absolutely. Allah. Read books. Become a reading individual. Make this a hobby. People ask, what's your hobby? Yeah. Oh, I like to ride bicycles. I like to skateboard. Mm-hmm. I like to do this. Okay, if it's not something against Sharia, no problem.
Definitely.
But how about amongst our hobbies, we include this as well.
Allocate some time.
Allocate some time on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Quran at the side of the top, mm-hmm. without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, don't just stop there. Learn about Islamic history. Learn about some sunnah. And the books are available. If you log on to dawoodislami.net, go to the book section, click on the books tab, and select your language, because the books are translated into over 30 different languages.
And Huzur, Allah's advice is applicable to the Madani mahal of Dawood Islami in the manner that Allah says that you don't only become an alim by reading books itself. That reading books, yes, that is one method, but that's not the only method. Meaning, take for example Madani Muzakara, the amount of ilmi discussions that take place there. I think if you watch the whole series of Madani Muzakara, it might suffice you, inshallah, because every topic and every subject Amir al-Sunnah takes on, he dives deep into it, brings out all the Madani pools and Madani pearls, you know, that are associated with that topic, the Sharia rulings, the wisdom behind it, and the evidences he brings from Quran and Sunnah.
Correct.
Subhanallah, it is amazing. So dear viewers, watch Madani Muzakara every week, inshallah, and it will transform your life.
Subhanallah.
Inshallah.
That's one avenue that Dawood Islami has given to the world of Madani Muzakara, the Q&A session. Live with Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu Aliyah. And like this, the setting up of the different departments, over 80 different departments in different fields, and the books that are available, the booklets which are available, and the facilities, the activities, it's all driven to fulfill the Madani mission statement. And I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah azza wa jalla. It's not an empty claim. There's things need to be done on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis in order to fulfill that you work on yourself constantly. It's not like, you know, like a once-off thing. Oh, okay, I learned everything now, so I'm good. No, shaitan is there constantly. He's constantly plotting and planning, and you know, he knows which buttons to press. So constantly we have to develop ourselves. In some fields today, like I was talking to, for example, an electrician the other day, and he says there's always, to keep his certification, there's always some new test that's there that needs to be passed.
To keep yourself up to date in the industry.
You know, 100%. Because things are changing. Technology is changing.
The world is changing.
Very fast. The world is changing very fast. And if I don't adapt, and this is where, again, you fall back to your foundation. Rome was not built in a day. So it's a constant thing, like nek a'mal. You can download it for free from App Store, Play Store. And you monitor every single day of your life. You monitor your progress, your spiritual progress, your progress as a practical Muslim.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Such beautiful words of wisdom by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala. We can derive so much of inspiration from them. And Mawasab, when it comes to the definition of an alim as to who qualifies as an alim, and the criteria that was set by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Somebody asked Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, does one acquire ilm by only studying books, which, alhamdulillah, you have highlighted that question, There was also another question, Masab, where the person asked Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu that what is the definition of an alim? And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says the meaning of an alim is that one is fully equipped with the beliefs, meaning the aqaid of Islam, and this knowledge must be constantly present in his mind at all times.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
That is first condition. And then secondly, he says, one must also have the potential or expertise of solving any question of deen from books without the assistance of any person.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. And we might have Jamia students, Darul Ulum students that are listening. Yes, a scholar also has to be in touch with the books.
Definitely.
Because like example, Hafiz al-Quran, he doesn't do his door, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Even a doctor, if he doesn't, you know, practice, or a lawyer doesn't practice,
yeah,
I mean, he's going to start forgetting things. So they're always, they're constantly checking their books, you know, just to remind them to, for revision purposes. And so a scholar also, an alim also, needs to constantly be in touch with the books, constantly be reading, researching, you know, doing revision of what he learned before, just to keep that the knowledge like fresh in the mind. Otherwise, it's easy to forget, you know, even basic things.
And Huzur, in the teachings of Ala Hazrat, when these questions were presented before Ala Hazrat, these questions didn't come like a staged performance. People from all walks of life, they came to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat to ask questions. And all his life was spent answering every question that he received. Khidmat of the Ummah, Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
Whether that questioner had a financial question, had a medical question, had a dini question, had a dunyawi question, everything was answered by this expert, Alim Adin, Imam Ahmad Rida radiallahu ta'ala, subhanallah. And at times, Huzur, people would ask him about certain myths, you know, that people have. Like, for example, you might have seen people have many different misconceptions about certain things. And there were many myths which were busted by Sayyidi Ala radiallahu ta'ala, and he guided them in the Islamic way. Okay, Islamically, this is how accurate this is, you know, this is the accuracy of it, and anything else, anything other than that, it's just a myth.
Subhanallah. Well, in Islam, you know, there's when it comes to bad omens, superstitions, they don't exist in Islam. They may exist in other institutions or religions. And what happens sometimes is that Muslims could perhaps, you know, start believing those superstitions of other faiths, but like, you know, a black, for example, a black cat crossing you or weighing under a ladder, or you know, the number 13. This is fairy tales. You know, it's just doesn't exist. The believer, yes, good omens we are allowed to take in Islam, but bad. In fact, a booklet on the subject of superstitions, which can be obtained from Maktabatul Madina, the publications department and bookshop of Dawud Islami, or download it for free online. And it gives you the whole concept in the month of Safar, the month of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali. And some people have that misconception that, you know, for example, no nikah must take place in Safar.
In Safar and Muharram.
And Muharram. In fact, this is one of the questions in Malfuza Sharif also,
Subhanallah,
where Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali mentions, no, there's no such thing, there's superstitions. So La Safar, there's no bad omens of month of Safar. So mashallah, Allah Hazrat came to, you know, like differentiate or to separate the water from the milk,
Subhanallah,
as they put it. But you know, he came to give the proper, true guidance on correct beliefs, what it means to be a Muslim from every facet you can think of, Huzur.
Subhanallah. And Masab, just you were mentioning to me about this creation of pyramids, you know, and how it was built. There are so many different theories about it, and inshallah, everything will be clear when we listen to the theory of Allah from
Allah. Well, this theory is not a theory, it's a fact. You know, subhanallah, science itself has so many theories on different things, but a theory is just that, it's a theory, it's not a fact. You know, it's okay according to their best knowledge, according to the technology that is available currently. They try to deduce, like, you know, possibly this is how it is, that is how it is. And in fact, Mawasa mentioned about pyramids. A person asked Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali that regarding the ancient pyramids of Egypt. And he, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, he replied that these buildings were constructed about 14,000 years before the appearance of Nabi Adam ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam.
Subhanallah.
And then he goes on to mention about Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. And further down, he mentions that Amir al-Mu'mineen, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, the fourth successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Ali, Mawla Ali karamullah ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that he commented about the minarets, that the buildings were erected when the star Nasr had entered the Cancer constellation.
Subhanallah.
And so the construction took place about 5,751 years before the creation of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And Nabi Adam alayhi salam appeared on the earth more than 7,000 years ago. This construction, he mentions there, was certainly the work of the jinns who had already inhabited earth 60,000 years before the physical appearance of Nabi Adam alayhi salam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So people want to find out, like, you know, how these mammoth stones or blocks of stones, how they were lifted up, how they were, you know, taken from one place to another place, how they were put so accurately to the millimeter, you know, that, you know, and they're sitting upon each other to create those pyramids. Well, we all know jinn, they have physical strength, they are physically more powerful than, you know, than us, the average human beings. So for them it was nothing, it was like picking up maybe a stone or something to create this construction.
Dear viewers, if you didn't know about the construction of pyramids, now you know.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
From the Mubarak lips of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the answer is provided. Inshallah, you can further study the subject in Malfoz Sharif if you wish to, inshallah, which is published by Maktabatul Madina Dawat Islami, inshallah, and you can download it on dawatislami.net, inshallah. Jazakallah, Mawasab.
I mean, just a quick point as well. In fact, it was the jinn who also built Masjid al-Aqsa under the supervision and command of Sayyidina Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam.
Subhanallah.
He oversaw that. And Honorable Ustaz al-Ulama Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib, when he went to Masjid al-Aqsa and he did the documentary, he shows you those massive pillars that are there. And you'll think that human beings couldn't have raised these things. So yes, it was built by the jinn.
Subhanallah. How beautiful it is that every creation is subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Without doubt.
And not only humans, that they built the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the jinns also took part. Like how in humans we have Muslims and non-Muslims, in jinns also they are Muslims and non-Muslims. There were jinn sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there were jinns that embraced Islam on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are another creation aside from the creation of human beings. There are other creations that are jinn. There are mainly three types of creations that are constantly mentioned in the Holy Quran: the jinn, the humans, and the malaika. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, it's unfortunate because of a lack of proper Islamic knowledge. I used to meet youngsters before, especially college days. And they would have this belief, and we used to discuss this topic about jinn, about shaitan, the devil. They would, Muslim youngsters, they would say that, na'udhu billah, that shaitan was a fallen angel. And then, you know, you had to correct them now, that no, Quran mentions he's from amongst the jinn. Angels are made from nur, from light. And jinn are made from nar, they're made from smokeless fire. So this is one of the misconceptions which are out there in the minds of youngsters. And where are they getting this information from? From other faiths, from the entertainment industry. So, you know, we must be so careful that, you know, what does my deen say? I mustn't learn from social media and, you know, all these funny places, because I can get misguided then.
It's only through the karam of Sayyidi Ala radiallahu ta'ala we come to know these facts. And speaking of jinn, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala had followers who were jinns, Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And they would partake in his lectures. In fact, it is mentioned by his student and Khalifa Allama Zafruddin Bihari rahmatullahi ta'ala, Malikul Ulama. And he writes in Hayati Al-Hazrat that one day Al-Hazrat was giving lecture, and he was on the stage, and under the stage people that are seated in the front, they can see a snake there.
Allah.
And they are trying to tell Al-Hazrat that, you know, there is a snake there. They are terrified, you know, big black snake, you know, who wouldn't be?
Jeez.
And Al-Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala is calm. It didn't affect him. He continued. Because he is preaching deen. Allahu Akbar. This is not something that you take lightly. And he is calm because he is the lion of Allah. They only fear the creator. Subhanallah. This is the difference between those who are friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those that are sinners in the ummah. That we fear everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the rest becomes easy. It takes away the fear of everything else if we become fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, he was delivering his discourse, and people tried to tell him there's a snake there underneath, and he couldn't care. He was calm and collected, you know. And after the lecture finished and ended, the people looked for the snake. It was nowhere to be found. It just vanished. And then they asked Sayyidi Ala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, why didn't you move? We tried telling you there's a snake there. And he said, I don't think it was a snake, because if it was a snake, you would see it escaping from there. It just vanished. It was a jinn. In the shape, because jinns are known to be shifting shapes.
Shapeshifters,
yes. And they can take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them the ability to shift any shape that they would like. So alhamdulillah, the jinns also learn from the faizan of Sayyidi Al-Hadrat radiyallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah. Well, these individuals, these personalities like Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, are they to guide the believers, be it humans or be it jinn. And there's so many other personalities like him as well that are inspiring both the humankind and the jinn kind as well. So why we don't, as humans, as the best of creation, why we don't take benefit from this? Why don't we read the works of Ala Hazrat? Because he is the yardstick. I mean, that is without a shadow of doubt. In the present era, in the era of fitna, of mischief, of confusion, and of doubts, of fake news, of misinformation, of misconceptions which have surrounded us. I mean, this is the lighthouse. Now, this is the shining star, Al-Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala Ali. And this shine emanates from his works, from his books, from his booklets, from his researches as well. And if we get in touch with it, if we research ourselves and we read, then we get an understanding, an appreciation of Al-Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala Ali, what he did, how he defended the correct Islamic beliefs of Islam, the correct Islamic beliefs of the Sharia. And then we get an understanding of it. So it's up to me actually that, you know, whether I want to sacrifice some time and to research about this personality to see how and why they regarded him as the Mujaddid, why they regarded him as the great reviver of the Sunnah of Islam as well.
Masab, as you just highlighted that Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala who safeguarded the Ummah from fitnas. I mean, we all want to be away from fitnas, right?
Absolutely.
We all want to be away from fitnas. And what is tajdeed? What is revival? Revival is do away with every fitna that has crept into the deen, bring the deen back to its original position. Alhamdulillah, Ala Hazrat has successfully done that for us.
Subhanallah. And
we should be appreciative of that. And if there is any fitnas, of course, we need the guidance of Ala Hazrat there to move away from the fitna and to safeguard ourselves from all the fitnas around us, inshallah. So if you out there, dear viewers, are looking to move away from the fitnas, hold on to the daman of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala. Inshallah, you won't go wrong.
Inshallah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all.
Ameen. Ameen. So there's another beautiful question with an even more beautiful answer.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
That a person poses a question to Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, and he says that, respected master, my nephew is born, please suggest a name for him. So Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, he says that the best names are those that are prescribed in the hadith.
Subhanallah.
And he says, all my nephews, including my son, they were named Muhammad. Then quoted a few ahadith. And I think we must listen carefully to this, inshallah, to our viewers and listeners of Madani Channel. Because in today's day and age, where people are always trying to find an exclusive name, a unique name that nobody else has. Yeah. And, you know, it's like different to pronounce. And so consider this. Just a few ahadith with regards to the name of Muhammad. That if any person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if any person out of sheer love for me names his child Muhammad or Ahmad, then Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive both the father and the son.
Subhanallah.
Another narration rather says that the angels will announce on the day of judgment that he whose name is Muhammad or Ahmad, proceed to Jannah.
Allah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Yet another hadith says that angels come and visit those homes in which lives a person by the name of Muhammad or Ahmad.
Subhanallah.
And one more narration he mentions that, what will you lose if there are two or three persons in your home by the name of Muhammad?
Subhanallah.
So our scholars have guided us. In fact, Dawud Islami has a beautiful book on this topic of keeping names.
Yeah.
Which can be downloaded from the website. And it gives you the names with the who the personality was, and you know some a little bit information about them as well. Alhamdulillah.
The translations males, also.
Translations, yes.
Those names.
Subhanallah.
Yes.
Translations as well.
Yes.
Males and females. Subhanallah. And our ulama have guided us that, and advised us, if a son is born to you, then give the name Muhammad, for the benefits, as we mentioned, for the benefit that the child and the parents will have.
Yes.
And then give a calling name with that.
Maybe Aqiqa name can be Muhammad and calling name can be something else.
Jee, like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, Muawiyah, or whatever else it is. You know, give a calling name so that, you know, you call the child by the calling name, but you've given the name Muhammad as well for the benefit that lies in it. Because see, for example, that if the child is misbehaving and you're scolding the child, it doesn't sit well. Like if you're saying, "Oh, Muhammad, stop it," you're scolding and you're saying, "Muhammad, I'm gonna give you a hiding." Doesn't sit well. So for the benefit of the name, give the name Muhammad and the calling name, so you address the child with the calling name as well.
Subhanallah. There is great wisdom in everything we do in Islam. Alhamdulillah. The viewers
Beshak,
and Ma'asab were just enlightening us about some of the wisdoms as to why not, you know, how you can safeguard yourself against abusing this Mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unknowingly, unintentionally. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Huzur, when we talk about, you know, the answers that he gives spontaneously, you know, he didn't sit with a library with him, you know, like how we see today people, you know, sitting with piles of books just to deliver a lecture, not even question and answer. You know, and here Ala Hazrat is sitting with no library with him. And in fact, there would come people from different walks of life, different questions they had. And one such questioner comes and asked Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, what was the age of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he embraced Islam?
Subhanallah.
Listen to the answer. He gives the answer plus more details.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. As it is a difficult question. What was his age? Usually in the books you will see the day of Wisal.
Ah, yes.
You know,
Mashallah.
Maybe the day a person was born and the year, and then the year of Wisal. And then you have to obviously calculate from that time to that time, you know, how many years that person lived, and so on and so forth. And here the person is asking, what was the age of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala when he embraced Islam? That is another calculation. Now, Allah says, he was 38 years old.
Subhanallah.
Spontaneously.
Subhanallah.
He was 38 years old.
Allah.
And Allah further said, With the exception of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, who was 83 years old at the time of his Shahada.
Allah
the rest
Akbar.
Of the three caliphs, Sayyidina and Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala
Allah
as well,
Allah.
Were 63 years old when they had passed away.
Allah
there was
Akbar.
A difference in dates, but the ages were the same.
Allah Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
I mean, with such accuracy, you know.
Subhanallah.
And Sayyidina Rasulullah was also 63 years old when he physically departed from this mundane world.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah Hazrat was known for this. That what Mulasa mentioned, that spontaneous answer.
Yes.
Because of, you know, all of this information, all of these different knowledges and sciences was already stored in his memory, in his mind. I mean, today we need to, you know, on our phones or tablets or PCs and stuff, create folders and files and what have you, and keep going back to them.
Allah.
But these files and folders were there in his mind that he created. And many a times it happened like that. Even to write a book, many a times that, you know, he didn't have his other books, he didn't have his library.
Yeah.
Like Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah was written without his library being there. In fact, he was there in Haram Sharif.
Yeah.
When he started to write this,
he writes this in his in the introduction of the book, that, you know, I don't have my library with me or nothing, you know, I'm just penning down whatever comes to my mind.
Allah.
And then obviously he had assistance from the Mubarak court of Rasulullah.
No doubt, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No doubt. And Subhanallah, I mean, every angle of Allah Hazrat, you know, it really amazing amazes you, from his knowledge to his piety. To his care of, you know, of the underprivileged. Again, we mentioned this the other day, that when Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi was, you know, had a few days left before his wisal, he gathered his family members and told them that, you know, please look after those who are poor and needy, and provide for them food from your homes.
Mm-hmm.
What you eat, give them to eat the same. So imagine the person who is a great Sufi master, a great scholar, a great mufti, great alim, a great scientist, a great mathematician, but also one who was a great supporter of people, poor people, a great and generous individual who uplifted even those who were downtrodden. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Inshallah, Masab, I think that the time has come to an end, and inshallah, if there was more time, there is no end of, you know, as to how much we can expound on and the blessings of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala
Allahu
anhu.
Akbar.
Even in today's day and age, he is so relevant, alhamdulillah. Like the scientists of the past, their theories, they all became redundant in this age. Nobody even knows their names.
Correct.
Modern science is dominating, but the name of Ala Hazrat and his contributions, inshallah, will stay here and are there to stay
inshallah.
Till the day of Qiyamah, and will continue to guide the Ummah of Rasulullah
sallallahu,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, Masab, I would like to end on this dua of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala, which was his mission to inculcate and to instill the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hearts of people. And he says, جان ہے عشق مصطفیٰ روز فضو کرے خدا جس کو ہو درد کا مزہ ناز دوا اٹھائے کیوں. Inshallah, dear viewers, jazakallah ma'asab for joining me. And dear viewers, alhamdulillah, hope you have been inspired by the words of wisdom shared by our Honorable Maulana Sahab. Jazakallah for staying with us and for watching Madani channel. Keep watching Madani channel and be inspired. And I will end with this beautiful slogan of Dawat Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
The reviver of Sunnah. The reviver of Sunnah.